Well, the Lord's is meeting with us. Pretty sure God filled Brandon with the Holy Ghost, heard him talking in tongues. And the beautiful thing of it is when you go out to eat today, you can talk in tongues. And when you wake up in the morning, you can talk in tongues. And all day tomorrow, you can talk in tongues. And the Bible calls it just praying with the Spirit. Being renewed in the Spirit. Just, it's not a one-time event for sure. Ask Meredith. It's not a one-time deal. This is just more and more and more and more. Have we baptized you in Jesus' name yet? No. We're going to... Didn't somebody schedule to teach y'all a Bible study? With Brother Johnson? He's sick today, so he had to stay home, but I'm going to tell him the good news. Amen. Oh, let's rejoice. So good to see everyone that is here today. We are, you don't know how honored we are to have Brother and Sister Mallory with us today. We've known them a long time. First time we met them, Brian was probably 8 or 9 years old, 7 or 8. Missionaries to the Philippines. It was to Brother Mallory God spoke to, gave a vision, a dream of a million soul revival in the Philippines. And as of right now, there are over 1.4 million saints in the Philippines. Went there with maybe 15 preaching points, and now there's over 1,000. Thousands. The Lord has greatly used this man and his wife all over the world. I think Monday will be their 58 years of marriage. And in 58 years, they've lived in 42 different homes. He is known as an itinerant preacher or a minister at large. An amazing man. They have more stories to tell of miracles and healings and people getting the Holy Ghost, gang members walking in their house, going to kill them. And they end up getting the Holy Ghost and preaching the gospel. An amazing people. And I know, Brother Mallory, how old are you? 79, almost 80. And he poured himself out at the marriage retreat and just shared with us just about half that much of what he had in his syllabus. And it was phenomenal. It was incredible. We cried. We laughed. He is called a man with a rubber face, so you will never know the different kinds of expressions you will see. He used to put a little tie around his head, and he looked like Arafat. And he was most of y'all don't know who Arafat is. He's then gone on and met wherever he's going. A tremendous, tremendous couple of the Lord. It's such an honor to have them with us today. And to make our acquaintance again. We've had a blast. And we've had a great time. And Brother Mallory, I'm going to ask you, and however you feel from the Lord, whatever you feel, I know the Lord's talked to you and is leading you and directing you in a way. And we are going to turn this over to you and Sister Mallory. God bless you. Could we just stand? And could we just give a hand clap to this great man of God?
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. It's on?
Yes, sir. It's on.
Hallelujah. You can give me a little more monitor. That'd be great. I'm an old man with a weak voice. Praise God. One, two, three. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, that's better. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here today.
Yes.
I think we're on track. That word trust. That is the first word in our scripture reading today, trust. So we had it in tongues and interpretation, trust. Pastor got up and he reemphasized it. Trust, trust, trust. So I guess we're on track. Praise God. Psalms 37. Beginning to read at verse 3. Before we do that, I just want to say what a privilege and honor it is for us to be here again with our special friends. And I mean that as sincerely as I can say it. And I told them before, I said, you know what, we go a lot of places. And told them we've been in 50 states. We've been in almost every province in Canada except one. We've been in 5 continents. We've been in countries all over the world. We've been in Russia, Ukraine, Nigeria. God didn't call us there. Hallelujah. But been all over the place. Amen. And there's something about it. It all comes back around. How many years it was that we were with the Pounds in our home in Sacramento, California. He said, you were 8 or 9 or something like that. Here he is, still serving the Lord. Isn't that awesome? I want to thank you for your wonderful hospitality. It's been over the top. They put us in a suite over there and at the marriage retreat, and I went in there and I told my wife, I said, man, I feel like the king. And you the queen. Hallelujah. She's been my queen for 58 years. Tomorrow. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? So I'll let you be seated in a moment. Oh, see, some of you thought you were going to get it right there. You'll know what I mean in a few minutes. The word says trust in the Lord. Some people trust in a whole lot of things except the Lord. Some people trust in money. Good luck. Amen. You can go to Venezuela now and you can get a truckload of money and go to the local store and maybe buy a loaf of bread. Money's not worth nothing. I don't know what's going to happen to our money here. I'm not making any predictions, but if you trust in money, you might be disappointed. Some people trust in the government. Double good luck. Hallelujah. Oh, we pray for our leaders and all of that, but I'm here to tell you, I ain't trusting no government. Amen. Some people trust in their best friend, turns out to be a fair weather friend, and you get all out of joint over it. You trust in a friend that didn't turn out. You trust in a lot of stuff. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, man, when you trust in the Lord, hallelujah, you're trusting in the God who never makes a mistake. He's never too early. He's never too late. He's always on schedule. Hallelujah. He takes care of his children. He knows the way that we take. Hallelujah. He knows where you are. I'm going to trust in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. It doesn't say do bad. Trust in the Lord and do bad. No, no, no. Trust in the Lord and do good. You know what happens when you do that? It says you're going to dwell in the land. That means the Lord won't take care of you. Amen. And then he says, verily thou shalt be fed. Some of you look like you're doing a good job. Verily thou shalt be fed. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. And then the next verse says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, notify your face, you are delighted. Now you can't say that and not smile, right? I've got the joy of the Lord, man. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fiercest of battles, amen, we're going to delight ourselves in the Lord. Because he said if we do that, he's going to grant us the desires of our heart. My Lord, can you believe the word? Do you really believe it? And then he says, commit thy way. Everybody say commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. And here's that word trust again. It says trust also in him. Oh, hallelujah. That word trust. It's there in just in a few sentences. The word trust is mentioned twice. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, every promise in the book is mine. Hallelujah. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust in him, and he's going to bring it to pass because his promises are yea and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm standing on his promises. How about you? You know, this chapter is an awesome chapter because this is the chapter that gives us that verse, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's where Jesus was quoting from on the Sermon on the Mount. The meek shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. And then there's another verse says, rest in the Lord. Your rest is in the Lord. And then there's another verse that said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's all in that chapter, man. And then we get to verse 25. This is it, pal. I couldn't have preached from experience from that verse 50-some years ago, but I can preach it from experience now, friend. Once I was young, or I have been young. Now I'm, you know, some people look at me and think I never was young. But trust me, pal, I was young one time. When I was young, pal, I could run like a deer. Oh, my Lord, I could run. We used to play scrimmage football between the French kids and the English kids up there in Montreal, Quebec. And I had a friend, his name was Ken Belbin, and man, he had an arm. And brother, I tell Kenny, you just throw that ball, pal, and I'll get under it. Hallelujah. And he'd throw that ball and little old Gordy. That's me. I mean, I was running. You know, my first name is Gordon. They nicknamed me Flash. Hallelujah. There goes Flash. Hallelujah. And I'd get under it. Boom. And I was gone, buddy. I was gone. And those French kids running after me saying strange things I didn't understand. Hallelujah. But I was across that line. Touchdown. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I lay in my bed and I'm thinking, I can still do that. I can still do that. Hallelujah. But if I tried, I'd fall on my beak, man. I'd make a fool of myself because I can't do that no more. You see, when you get old, stuff starts happening. Stuff starts falling out. Man, I used to have black, wavy hair. Oh, my Lord. It was pretty cool, man. Hallelujah. My teeth, they're like stars. They come out at night. Hallelujah. Put them in a jar. I'll look over them the next morning. They're smiling up at me. We're still here. Hallelujah. And you know what? Here's the deal. If I stand for a long period of time now, I get there's something, I don't know, you've got a sciatic deal. There's something in here, and it goes all the way down my leg, Pastor. And it gets numb. And when I'm standing there, I could hit it like this, and it's numb. Unbelievable. So I'm standing, and then it starts getting weak because it's numb. And then I start leaning. I think I'm going. Hallelujah. But I can't sit down because if I sit down, they're going to think I'm backslid. I'm not backslid. I just got a bum leg, man. I'm old now. Well, I tell some people I can worship God better sitting down than some of you can do standing up. Oh, hallelujah. Now, thank you for that great big amen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Once I was young, now I'm old. But I'm here to testify to this church today. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Hallelujah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. Something's going to happen in this place in the next few minutes. I believe it. Because God's got it all under control. Hallelujah. Now go ahead, clap your hands again. Praise God. You may be seated. Pastor has already mentioned, Sister Mallory and I went to the Philippines when we were very young, in our early 20s. Didn't know nobody. First 2 years, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Got sick, dysentery, all that stuff, laying in bed, sick. Some of our first converts were from a garbage dump. Some of my first Bible studies were sitting in a dump. It's a notorious dump. Tens of thousands of people live on this dump. Amen. I wanted to save all the rich people. Rich people didn't seem to be too interested. So we got down to the dump. Hallelujah. Sitting there giving a Bible study, some mosquito came along. The mosquitoes over there are big, man. They look like the size of birds or something. And they're all flying through the air singing, "Thank God for the blood." Hallelujah. And one of those suckers drilled me, man. And I got H fever, which is a kind of a first cousin to malaria. And I laid in my bed sick for at least 6 weeks. Didn't know, you know, delirious with fever. Amen. Body emaciated. You know, I didn't think of all that when we went to the Philippines. You know, we were all excited. My God, this is going to be such an exotic trip. Praise God. We're going to the Philippines. We're going to reach people for the Lord. Hallelujah. And then we got there, and my Lord, everything was topsy-turvy. And amen, it was hard to get converts. Amen. Some of the first converts, of course, came from there. And that guy I told Pastor about, Tony, came with a knife. He'd been a former communist called the NPA Army. Amen. He'd killed many people. Amen. But he came and he thought he wanted God. But then when he kind of got crossways with us about something, he said, "Well, I think I'll kill him and then I'll go back where I came from." Amen. So he came into our house, knocked on the door. Now I'm just telling you, amen. You know that verse that says the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him. Hallelujah. You believe the Lord is our protector. He's our shield. Amen. I believe that. You know, that guy came to the door, Pastor, and that door opened. It was 11 o'clock at night. Amen. Opened the door, and there was Tony. He had a little jacket on in the night air, and he was concealing a long, big dagger that he had brought that he was going to use to kill me. And he lunged in to come inside the house because he's going to get me. And when his foot come across the threshold, amen, he started shaking like this. Of course, he looked a little bewildered. I didn't know what his intent was because I didn't see the knife yet. Amen. Put his foot across second time. Tried it the third time. Zzz. I didn't know what was going on. I thought he's crazy or something. The Lord put some kind of an electrical charge in that house and wouldn't let him into that house with his intent. So now he just stood there. Now here I am. I reach out and I take him by the arm. He said, "Come on in, Tony." I had to literally almost drag him in because he was afraid he was going to go zzz again. But the Lord let him into the house that way because now he's humbled, you know. Something's going on. He gets into the house. He sits on a little chair beside me. I'm on a kind of an easy chair thing, and I'm talking to him and doing all the stuff. The presence of God came into that place. My wife was on the top of the stairways praying. Hallelujah. And about somewhere 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, amen, praying for little Tony that had come to kill me. He started bursting forth, speaking in tongues, and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in my house. Is that good stuff? Then he went out of the house and became one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known in my life. He's won thousands to the Lord. Praise God. Now he's in his 70s like me. He was only a few years younger than me. Praise God. So that's just one little thing that happened. And a whole lot of other things happened. I'm not going to bore you because I want to get to where I really want to go here. But I just want you to know that when the Spirit of the Lord started moving, it was amazing. We said, well, it's okay. Now we're going to get we have to get a place for our church. So we got a former nightclub on the seedy side of town. That was the only thing we could afford. Amen. Didn't have no windows or anything like that. It had a big old thick door with a little peephole. Amen. That was it. Tried to air condition it, but you couldn't hardly air condition. It was terrible. Amen. And then we started getting some of those people from the dump into the church. And the stench was terrible. Amen. That's where we kind of started. Amen. We were only there a few weeks, and another Tony and Luz Mahilam, they woke up in their house around the corner of our church one morning, and life was so hard for them, so difficult. And they got to the place where they felt there was no hope. And they said, we're going to go and commit a double suicide. They were going to kill themselves that Sunday morning. Amen. So they come walking by our little former nightclub. The little sign out there said Philippine Evangelistic Center. Amen. And they heard some stuff going on inside that place. And so they just decided, well, we might as well stumble in here and see what's going on. They stumbled in there and they sat in the back. And I was preaching that day. Didn't know who they were. They came to the altar. They received the Holy Ghost just like that. We took them out and baptized them in Jesus' name. Oh, it was so wonderful. Amen. Then when we started our Bible school, they came to the Bible school. Amen. Tony went out and established at least 2 churches. Hallelujah. Did a great work for God. Praise the Lord. Those were in the days when we felt like, amen, what next is going to happen negative. But, oh, hallelujah, the Lord knew all about it. Amen. He can arrest people that are going to commit suicide. Hallelujah. If there is any kind of a suicidal spirit going on in this house, it can go right now because, hallelujah, when you trust in the Lord and when you do good and when you delight yourself in the Lord and if you commit your way unto the Lord, everything is going to change in your life. Old things are going to pass away and behold, all things are going to become new. Hallelujah. Do I have a witness in this house? Do you remember where you came from? Oh, yeah, we remember where we came from. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I remember the first time we were in a service, 100 people received the Holy Ghost in one service. I was like, wow, it don't get no better than this. Then we were in a service, over 200 got the Holy Ghost in one service. I said, my God, it don't get no better than this. Now, that wasn't happening in that old nightclub. We had to move out of there. Hallelujah. We went from place to place until finally, amen, that one little church that Sister Mallory were in, the very first service, that one little church has given birth to over 300 churches in the city of Manila. 300 churches. And we can't find a building big enough to put them in, so now we have to go to the open field. Praise God. Can you imagine in an open field with 250,000 people present when we started from nothing? I mean, how many football fields is that? I mean, that's unreal. Praise God. In one day, we saw over 100,000 receive the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's pretty cool. Hallelujah. Now, see, now you're looking at me like, That ain't going to happen. Oh, yeah, well, I'm here to tell you it did. Hallelujah. And here I am. I come from an abused household. Had a nervous breakdown at 14 years old. Hallelujah. If somebody looked at me between the ages of 14 and 16, you'd think, that guy ain't going to do nothing because he looks like an idiot. But God knows how to pick up nobodies. Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. All the king's horses and all the king's men can't put old Humpty Dumpty back. Oh, but my God's the heart mender. Hallelujah. He knows how to fix stuff. Doesn't matter where you come from, how bad you've been, how terrible it's been, what a cesspool you've been growing up in. I'm here to tell you, you're in the right place at the right time, because the heart mender is here. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above. Oh, come on, I need a witness in this house. Are you here? Hallelujah. Changed by the power of God. You know what? Early on in the early 70s, we decided to have a little crusade meeting with those that we had, and we got a big old auditorium. We got them in there, and we had people coming through a line to be prayed for. Here comes this guy with a white cane coming through the line. He's blind. He gets about here. Hands are laid on him. Looks like nothing happened in the outward. He walks back down. 15 minutes later or so, I saw this man. He's out in the area here where we'd had chairs all taken up because make room for the people, and this white cane was on the floor beside him. And he's like this. He's clapping his hands. And he's looking up, and he's chuckling. He's going, then he's stopping. I went and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, "Sir, what's happening to you? What's going on right now?" His head never left the ceiling. He said, "Well, you see, I'm a Roman Catholic. My friend brought me." He said, "I'm blind." He said, "I cannot distinguish light from dark." He said, "But when my friend brought me through that line," he said, and the priest laid his hands on me. That's what he said. He said, "I saw a flash of light." He said, "All the time I've been walking around here, I'm looking at the light. I've never been able to see before." And he said, "The light is getting brighter." He said, "Wow." When he said that, I'm like, wow. I got cold chills up and down my body. It was unbelievable. And I stood right there with him. The man had whites where there should be pupils. Hallelujah. I saw that man continue to clap his hands. His eyes started leaving the light that he was looking at. And he started looking down like this. He said, "Now I'm beginning to see shadows." He said, "I see things moving around." I said, wow. When he said that, my mind shot back to the book of John, where Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man and he first saw men as trees walking. I said, "God, what you did when you walked on this earth, you're doing it right here tonight in front of my eyes." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you imagine seeing a guy that has whites where there should be pupils, and you watch pupils growing in his eyes, and you see him go out of that place with 20/20 vision? I'm here to tell you, I'm a witness to what God can do. Oh, come on, somebody. Faith's got to rise in this house. If my God can open blind eyes, he can do anything. Oh, here's a woman in the line. She's coming through the line. She's got a large growth on her throat. It looks larger than any goiter I've ever seen. It was a large growth. She gets prayed for. When she gets prayed for, amen, then she starts. I'm standing down here kind of helping the flow of the people that are coming through. And as I'm watching her, I see with my two little Canadian eyes, hallelujah, I'm watching as that growth starts to melt and disappear. into her throat. I mean, gone in 30 seconds. Gone. No sign of the growth. Gone. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for somebody to say, did you really see that? Hallelujah. Was it an illusion? No. The same Jesus that did it when he walked on the shores of Galilee is the same God who does it at Abundant Life Church in Beaumont, Texas. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I could stand up here and I could tell you these kind of stories. Amen. Till you think, wow, that reads like the book of Acts. And it does. You've been here for, what, 15 years, something like that? Hallelujah. If you could just write down everything that happened in 15 years and all the services you've been in here, it would no doubt read like the book of Acts. Hallelujah. My wife and I never been here before. We've been everywhere, man. Like Willie Nelson. I've been everywhere, man. But we never been here. And we walk into this house. Hallelujah. And we feel something in this place. Hallelujah. It's kind of at a dimension that you don't often feel. Hallelujah. I'm not just searching for words here. I'm telling you, if you're a part of this church, you don't know. You don't know how privileged you are, because there's something in this church. There's something in this congregation of people. There's something in the leadership, pastorship of this church. Hallelujah. I think you're sitting on the horizon, amen, of a mighty, mighty move of God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that what I'm feeling here, hallelujah, is what I felt there that I'm talking to you about. Oh, hallelujah. I feel it in this house. Oh, somebody better thank God that the finger of God is on this church. Hallelujah. You know what I feel? I feel signs and wonders. I feel the miraculous in this house. You're not as young as you used to be. Oh, hallelujah. But the hand of God is on this preacher in the name of Jesus. You follow this man as he follows Christ, and you're going to go into places you never ever dreamed possible, because you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Now fasten your seat belts, honey. We're about ready to go someplace where we seldom go. Are you ready? I told you about all those kind of miracles. All that stuff. That was all over in the Philippines. Amazing stuff. There's amazing stuff going on right now. I might say something about it a little bit later, but we left the Philippines. We'd been there for 15 years, something like that, raised our family there through the teenage years. And we came home. We started itinerating again. A little group of people in Hawaii, Maui, a little group of about 35 people, mostly Filipinos, some of them that we had pastored in the Philippines that have migrated there. They lost their pastor under difficult circumstances, and so they called for us to come help them find a new pastor. So, okay, we'll go for 6 weeks. Had three suitcases. Landed in Maui and stayed 6 years. See, how do you get close enough to God to get called to Maui? Huh? It's unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you what, we didn't go for the beach. You know, the only time we went to the beach in 6 years, other than when my family came over one time, went to kids, went. But other than that, we just went to the beach to baptize people. Our church was one block from the beach. So we would walk down there one block, and we'd go and baptize them in the world's largest baptistry, the Pacific Ocean. Hallelujah, it's amazing. So there we were, and God blessed there. I'm not going to tell you all about what happened there, but except to say that the first Easter Sunday that we were there, I was preaching. Now, if you can't preach on Easter Sunday, you might as well quit the ministry. You got some material, man. Hallelujah. Resurrection. Holy Ghost. Healing. Oh, wow. Up from the grave he arose. Oh, hallelujah. It's Easter Sunday. Amen. I was preaching. Stuff started happening in the altar. It was awesome, man. Well, then the next morning, it was Monday morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, Sister Pound, and I woke up with a severe pain in my abdomen. Never felt like that before. I'd been sick before, but something different. I got up and I started pacing our little apartment there. And then finally I felt strength ebbing from my body that fast. I sat down and I couldn't get up again. My wife came out, "What's wrong, honey?" I said, "Well, I got this pain." She thought maybe it's flu or something like that. No, honey, she prayed for me. We prayed for each other. We've seen I'm the guy that's seen blind eyes open. I'm the guy that's seen growth disappear. I'm the guy that's seen all. We saw the dead raised to life in the Philippines. We saw so many outstanding miracles. Unbelievable. In one weekend, we documented 3,995 documented miracles that took place in one weekend. And now here I am in the most remote landmass on earth, Hawaii, far from everybody. It's down to me and Mama and our little flock. Hallelujah. And so we prayed. It got worse. My wife literally had to almost try to carry me down the steps to get me into the car. Took me to Kaiser Clinic. They took blood. They did a stat. And now the doctor is sitting at his computer, and I'm there. I've never been sicker. I'm so sick. He's looking at that computer screen. He said, "Something catastrophic is going on here." I heard that word, catastrophic. I know what that means. Something really bad is happening. Come to find out, I had a 7-inch abscess attached to my pancreas. My whole body was full of E. coli, and another infection just as deadly working in tandem with it. I was a very sick man. Amen. My wife has taken me home in the car, and car phone rings, and she said, "Yes, yes, doctor, yes. I'll get him to the airport, sir." They couldn't treat me in Maui. They had to airlift me to Honolulu. I'm the guy that's seen all the miracles. Hallelujah. I told you a little bit about all of that, and now here I am. I just preached on Easter Sunday. I saw people get the Holy Ghost. Awesome things happen. Now my wife is wheeling me in at 10:30 at night into that Honolulu hospital. It's eerie in the hallways. It's like, wow. And so I just blurted out to nobody. I said, "I come to cheer this place up. I think I come to cheer my own self up." She wheels me into a semi-private room. There's two beds in there. One's waiting for me. There's another bed. It's got a curtain around it. I don't know what that poor soul's problem was, but that man was making some mighty horrible sounding noises, man. He was going, I said, "My God, get me out of here. He's dying and I am too. I got to be out of this place." I told the nurse, I said, "Nurse, I can't stay here." She said, "Sir, this is where you're assigned." I said, "I want a private room." She said, "There is no private room." You know, I'm talking about trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Hallelujah. Delight thyself in the Lord. He's going to take care of you, right? Hallelujah. Commit thy way unto the Lord. He's going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So I got a little history with the Lord now. Amen. So I said to the nurse, I said, "Can I talk to your supervisor?" And when she said yes, she went and got the supervisor. And you know what? the supervisor come in, and she's a Filipina. I know you're not excited, but I sure was. I says, oh, magandang gabi, Mom. Good evening, Mom. Her eyes got big because I just said good evening in her Tagalog dialect. Kamusta ka, Mom? How are you, Mom? Her eyes got bigger. Saan ka galing sa Pilipinas? Where do you come from in the Philippines? Now her eyes is really big. How do you know my language? I said, Filipino ako. I'm a Filipino. She said, I don't think so. And then I began to tell her, we were missionaries in your beautiful country. I began to relate some of the wonderful, beautiful things that we had seen there. Told her some of the miracles. I noticed a tear coming out of her eye. Started coming down her cheek. She said, sir, I want to thank you for your sacrifice. Oh, Mom. No sacrifice. The most beautiful years of our lives were spent in your beautiful country. But sir, I want to thank you for your kindness. I want to thank you. And I said, Mom, it's the easiest thing we could ever do. You see, I'm a little prejudiced. I told her, I said, Filipino people are the most God-conscious people on earth. Hallelujah. They have a heart after God. They're easy to reach. Praise God. And she's, we're having this conversation, and there's an emotion in the room. And then she said, sir, what do you need? What can I help you with? I said, well, ma'am, we're from Maui, and I need a private room. And they told us that even the family can't stay with the patients over 10:30 at night. I said, I don't know where she's going to go or anything. She said, sandali lang. That means for a while, just a moment. She left. She came back. She got up close to my ear. She said, sir, I found you a private room. I said, yes. I'm dying, but I got a private room to do it in. Hallelujah. And then she said, if nobody says anything, she said, I'll bring in another bed into your room and your wife can stay with you. Hallelujah. Now, here I am talking to about all the instantaneous miracles we've seen. And now hear the long 4-month saga out of my pulpit for 4 solid months. My God. Hallelujah. They put into my body for 3 months the strongest antibiotics you can put in the human body. Hallelujah. The doctor had come in the next morning after I was admitted, and Dr. Takamori, he said, do you want me to shoot straight with you, sir? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, people that have what you have at the level you have it usually never leave a hospital. In other words, you're terminally ill. But we're going to try to see what we can do. So they gave me those antibiotics, and they put tubes in my body so they could try to drain it, but it wouldn't drain. Amen. The antibiotics didn't work. He said, the last resort is we take you into the operating room, and we cut you from here to here, all the way across your abdomen. And the surgeons literally reach into your abdomen and scoop out the infection with their hands. That sounded pretty antiquated to me. I said, I hope it never comes to that. And he said, I hope so too. But eventually that's what had to happen because nothing else worked. So I have this big, long incision from one end to the other. My God. But here's what I want to tell you. The first Sunday that I was in that hospital, first Sunday, I was laying on my bed. Amen. And I was weeping. I was crying. Not because I was sad or not because I was even worried, but I had a chance to look back over my life. Hallelujah. And to see how good God had been. If you want to tack a title on this little discourse today, just say, God has been good to me and to you. Hallelujah. So here I am, and I'm thinking about all of the wonderful things, Brother Tyler, that God had done for me. While I'm laying there thinking about all that stuff and weeping and having a good old time, amen, right outside my door, I heard music. I heard music. And then I heard singing. Sounded like angels, man. Right outside my door, sis. Hallelujah. And for a little moment, I thought I was hallucinating. I thought, why, they come to get me. And so I looked over at my wife and I said, honey, do you hear what I'm hearing? And she said, yes. And right outside my door, in that Honolulu hospital, they were singing, Majesty, oh, worship His Majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Oh, oh, Majesty. Oh, kingdom, authority. Oh, Jesus, who died, but He's now glorified, and He's the King of all kings. Hallelujah. I called the nurse, 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 nurse. What's going on outside my door? She called them a little Christian group, Pastor. She said, they've been coming here for 25 years, every Sunday. They sing in the hallways to encourage the patients. She said, we don't let them in the patients' rooms unless the patient invites them in. I said, they come in and they gather around my bed. They got ukuleles. They got guitars. They got tambourines. And they're all smiling. I told them who I was, where I came from, all that. Got through the pleasantries. They start calling me Pastor. Pastor, what else do you want us to say? Hallelujah. I believe God sent those people to me out there in that most remote landmass. You know, I'm a people person. You probably don't know that. I love people. I'm a people guy, man. And I love you, man. I walk into this place and everybody's in this room. I just love you. Hallelujah. And God, good. But now here I am. I don't got nobody except my beautiful wife. And she's awesome. But now here I am. I got all these people around my bed singing. It was awesome. They come every Sunday and they'd sing to me, Pastor, what do you want us to sing? And during that period of time, I lost 60 pounds. My life was wasting away. You'll never get out of this hospital. Weaker and weaker and weaker. Huh. Hallelujah. Finally, the doctor comes in. He said, sir, we tried everything. Nothing's worked. We're going to have to do that surgery. It made me sign release papers. So we don't know if you're going to pull through. You got to admit to this. You got to agree to this surgery. We don't know if you're going to pull through or not. It's that serious. That's how serious it was. I signed the papers. He said, we're gonna operate at 8:30 Monday morning. Okay. Here comes my little group. Sunday. Just before I'm going to be operated at 8:30 Monday morning. They come in, they gather around my bed. Pastor, what are we going to sing today? I said, well, my surgery's tomorrow. Doctor, don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to see you guys again or not. I said, why don't we just sing that song? Because He lives. I can face tomorrow. Come on, somebody. Because he lives. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. All fear. Come on now. It's gone. And because I know, oh yes, I know he holds the future. Hallelujah. And life, come on now, is worth the living just because I know he lives. Come on, help me now. Because he lives. Sing it with me. Hallelujah. I can face tomorrow. I feel Jesus in the house. Because he lives. I know he lives. Hallelujah. All fear, all fear, all fear. It's gone. And because I know, oh yes, I know he holds the future. Sing it with me. And life, come on now, is worth the living just because I know he lives. Hallelujah. I know he lives. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and praise him. Hallelujah! That was 20 years ago. I'm 79. That happened when I was 59 years old. Hallelujah. My whole family came over to visit me to Maui, my sons and their wives and our grandkids. They were somehow believing that I'd be there. I told the doctor, I said, "Doctor, I've got to go to see my family in Maui." He said, "You can't walk, sir. You're terminally ill, sir." Because even after the surgery, they did the CAT scan, and they still found infection in my body. He said, "That infection's going to kill you. You can't go anywhere." I said, "Sir, if I'm going to die anyway, I want to go see my kids and my grandkids." So he reluctantly signed release papers on a Friday. And then he says, "You'll be back here on Monday." He said, "My wife will wheel me everywhere." So she wheeled me. She wheeled me into the airplane, out of the airplane, everywhere. Wheeled me, wheeled me. I got to the airport, and my grandkids couldn't believe it. They all gathered around me. Everybody's crying. "Old Papa, old Papa, don't look too good." I didn't bring my biography book with me, but there's a picture in there of our family and of me in the middle. And I look like death warmed over. I really won't die. I made up my mind when my wife wheeled me into the airplane. I said, "I ain't never going back. I'm never going back. If they can't do it with all what they've tried, hallelujah, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Hallelujah, it's my time to go, I'll just go. Hallelujah. Because this world's not my home anyway. I'm just a passing through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah." Anybody here believe that? Absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. I'm wrapped in his robes of righteousness. Hallelujah. But one thing I do know, I ain't going one second sooner than he says it's time to go. Hallelujah. And I don't know what that does to you, but that makes me feel mighty secure. to know that my life is in the hands of God. Hallelujah. So here I am, Pastor. First time I come to church in 4 months, they have to carry me in. They got an easy chair there for me. They set me in the easy chair. Wow. It's good to be back. Every week, carry me in. Carry me out. Carry me in. Carry me out. This one Sunday, I was sitting in that chair, and I felt preach come on me. Take me up there. They carry me up there, put me in the pulpit. I'm standing in the pulpit. They made the mistake of stepping back. Man, I went at it for about 60 seconds. And then I collapsed in a heap. I collapsed on the floor. And they came and they picked me up. They carried me back to my chair. The devil spoke in my ear and said, "It's over, man. You'll never preach again." And I'm like, wow. You know, I think you're the devil, and I don't think I ought to listen to you. Hallelujah. You're a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning. Hallelujah. So I'm feeling mighty good right now because you're the one that gave me the report, and you're a stinking rotten liar. Here I am 20 years later. You know what? I really believe that the Lord saw 20 years down the line, and he saw my wife and I reconnecting with Brother and Sister Pound and Brother Brian. I really believe that the Lord saw that 20 years later, and he said, "You're going there for a divine purpose." You think God knows what he's doing? Hallelujah. Buckle up for the miracle. Hallelujah, because I believe in him. I believe in instantaneous miracles. I believe in miracles that take a little time to test our faith, do whatever he's doing. But hallelujah, we don't never give up on God. We don't never give up on his miracles. We don't never give up on faith. Our faith increases with every passing day. Then, everybody say then. What was it? 7 years ago now, I think. 7 years ago, I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I'm passing pure blood. Unbelievable. I say, wow, what's happening? I tell Brother Huntley. Brother Huntley says, "You need to go get checked." We went to a urologist, got checked. They did a scan. He said, "You've got a mass in your bladder." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, we don't know. It's got to be removed." So right there in Raleigh, take me into the operating room again. Here we go again. They remove this large tumor from my bladder, and they find out it's cancerous. I have cancer in my bladder. So for the next, 5, 6 years, I'm going in and out of treatment. I've had at least 5 surgeries, my bladder. This is just in the last few years. Hallelujah. I could only, you know, they do this chemo stuff on you. And then you go to your chair again. I'm back in my chair. And I'm laying there for the first 3 days after the treatments. You just don't want to do anything. It's terrible. I won't go through all the details. But for about 4 days of the week, you're feeling pretty good. So then if those 4 days falls on a Sunday, I go preach. Leaning on the pulpit. Preach. Preach. Hallelujah. Go back the next Monday, get the next treatment. Every week, every week, every week. Treatment, treatment, treatment. Then after 6 weeks, then you go, got to go, you got to go get checked again. They do biopsy. Still cancer. Treatment, treatment, treatment. Until my wife and I moved from Phoenix, Arizona, where we were being treated at Mayo Clinic in Phoenix, and we moved to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Hallelujah. So I changed. What I did was I went to Houston Methodist. I went to Houston Methodist, one of the number one doctors, forgot his name. He's from Sri Lanka or something. But he's one of these crackerjack doctors that does all these surgeries that take out your bladder and they give you a bag that you got to the rest of your life. He said, sir, your bladder is completely shot. And if we wait, the cancer is going to go into your body. It's going to break through the wall. And he said, there's no chance of us saving you. And he said, my wife was with me. I think we were there the second time. And we went there. The doctor calls my hotel room. He says, do not leave Houston. Do not leave this hospital. You're being admitted today. You can't live. I looked at my wife and I said, you know what? I think he's a good doctor. He's got all his stuff behind his name. He's recognized as one of the greatest urologists there is. And I told my wife, I said, I ain't listening to him. I've been through too much. I'm not against doctors. I've told you all about being around them and in them and having all the stuff. I said, my God's the great physician. He's head of all of them. So I told my wife, she said, we're leaving. So we left. Went back home. I called the pastor. I said, told the pastor what happened. He said, well, I'll back you up. What you doing? He said, Brother Mallory, would you preach? Would you preach this coming Wednesday night? I said, yeah, I'll preach. I preached on Wednesday night entitled, message entitled, Stepping Into Your Miracle. And while I was preaching, I was stepping into my own miracle. I'm stepping into my miracle. I'm stepping into my miracle. Hallelujah. And then I said, wow, I'm going to call Brother Tipton. He's my elder there in Mississippi. And I knew that he'd had some kind of bladder deal. So he has a urologist in Jackson, Mississippi. I said, can I go see your urologist? He called him and said, yeah, good old Dr. Jackson. Hallelujah. So we go, no, Dr. Adams, excuse me, Dr. Adams. And he goes in there and he had all my reports now. Because they sent him to him. Well, he said, I can see why they want to take your bladder out. It's shot. Wow. I said, take another look. They did the test. Went in there. I've had a lot of these tests. Normally, it takes not very long. But this guy, he was in there long. He got a little camera in there looking and looking and looking and looking. I said, my Lord, what's he doing? Finally, the test was over. He shook my hand. He said, Mr. Mallory, he said, your bladder is as clean as a whistle. He said, you don't have no tumors. He said, I can see the scar tissue where you had your former biopsies. But he said, you have nothing else going on in there. He said, I'll see you in 3 months. So I went back in 3 months, and he did the test again. And he shook my hand again, and he said, sir, he said, I don't even see the scar tissue. The scar tissue is gone. He said, you got a bladder like a baby's bladder. Can you rejoice with me? Here I am, running all over the country. You know, I know this world's not my home. I know that. I know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. I know that. I ain't stupid. But hallelujah, the Lord must want me around a little bit. Here I am. I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed this weekend, I'll tell you that. Because I got to see y'all. Hallelujah. God's good. Now, I know it's right at 12 o'clock. That's when my contract expires. No, it's just, I tell that for fun. You know, I don't mean that in a bad way. But I want to tell you something else. I wish I would have brought pictures with me to show you. It's terrible. You know, I left my Bible back at that place we were yesterday. I don't have my Bible. I don't have my syllabus. But I got the microphone. All I need is a microphone and scriptures that flash on that board right there. And I'm good. You want to stand up or you want to stay seated? Why don't you stand up? Because I'm going to tell you something else that's really probably more awesome than anything I've said yet. I want everybody to move out of your seats and just kind of come. I know there's not room for everybody. I understand it. But just come and get close to the altar. Close to the altar, okay? Because everything you heard is exactly the way it was, exactly the way it is. And let me tell you this. The Lord brought us through a bunch of stuff. Then it was about, what was it now? It was, I think, 12 to 14 years ago, something like that. I'm in Oregon, and I get a call from my son. My son followed me in pastorship in Maui. So he was pastor in Maui. He called me and he said, Dad, he said, you know that growth that's been growing on my neck? He said, it's bad, Dad. It's bad. He said, I have mantle cell lymphoma. There's many kinds of lymphoma. Some lymphomas are kind of easy to treat now. They've found ways to treat them. But mantle cell lymphoma, you're terminal. They don't have any cure for mantle cell lymphoma. Now, here's the deal. Before that, we were in a meeting where my son and I were kind of together, and this is before the growth deal, and this man comes up, and he takes me by the arm, and he puts his other hand on Jeff's chest, and he said, the mantle of your father is upon you. Greater things are you going to see than your father's ever seen. And he began to enumerate them. Well, then it was a little bit after that, Jeff called me and he said, Dad, I've got mantle cell lymphoma. I said, well, that makes sense. The Lord says, the mantle of your father is upon you, and you're going to see great things. The devil hears it, and he said, I'm going to put an evil mantle on you. I'm going to put the mantle of death on you. So that you can never realize the fulfillment of that prophetic utterance. Because you're not going to realize it if you're dead. So now comes all the stuff what he tells us. Dad, I got to get my house in order. So he decided to go to the National Institutes of Health, Bethesda, Maryland. He goes through all the battery of tests and this and that and the other. And for 2 solid years, I mean, he's going through it. But before he got to that hospital there, he was out in the backyard of his uncle there in Oregon, and he saw a little stone that was different from the other stones, and he picked up the stone, and he clutched it. The Lord spoke to him. He felt the Lord spoke to him and said, Jeff, you're just walking through the valley picking up stones so that you can defeat this Goliath that's come to your life. Clutch that stone. He went down to some shop somewhere and he got, 200 stones, and he had engraved on these stones healing, miracles, deliverance, revival, all of that. And then he went back to Maui for 2 weeks before he checked into Bethesda, and he gave stones to all of his people, and he said, we're going to walk through this valley together. because we're just walking through the valley, picking up stones so that we can defeat this Goliath. So the next 2 years, Jeff was so sick, he also lost all the weight. If you would have seen my son, I regret that I didn't bring the picture to show you before and after. But he was there. You know, wires coming out of him looked like death warmed over, pushing this little thing around, you know, with all the bags on it and stuff. I remember we went to visit one time and I saw him coming. His face was all sunken in. He smiled. Mom, Dad, I'm just walking through the valley, picking up stone. We're going to defeat this. We're going to defeat this. Hallelujah. Kept going through it. I'm telling you a true story. And then he's just wasting away. Finally, they found a problem in his colon. They had to take 20 inches of his colon. They had to do a colostomy where he has to wear this bag. They did this surgery on him, and here he is laying in his room on his bed. His wife's sitting there beside him. She's got a migraine headache. And he said, I've never felt pain like I felt it. He had a reaction to the nuclear pain medicine they gave him. And he's laying there and he said, he raised his hand and said, God, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me, God. But Lord, I don't think I can take any more of this pain. Lord, would you relieve me of this pain? God is my witness. The door to his hotel room swung open. An African-American lady walked in dressed like a nurse he'd never seen before. She never said anything to him. She just raised her hands and she said, I've come to dispatch angels into this room. And she turned around and she walked out. When she walked out, Jeff said, I felt something hit me from the top of my head. And I felt it go out to the soles of my feet. And my wife looked over at me and said, Jeff, my migraine's gone. It's gone. 5 minutes later, Brenda, that's his wife, her phone rang. And it was her daughter, 19 years old, down there in Alexandria, Louisiana. They were in a prayer meeting. Her name's Corey. Corey, while she was praying, interceding for her daddy, in her, you know, a vision, she saw angels walk into her dad's room. And she said to Melanie, she said, Melanie, call my mom and my dad and tell them that angels just walked into the room and everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Hallelujah. Where's my son Jeff now? Terminal, no cure. He finally did what I did. He just left the hospital. He could take you to the spot again where the Lord touched him, Columbia, Mississippi. Even that's 12, 14 years ago. He spoke. They gave him 4 years to live, max. And now Jeff and Brenda, Jeff's 56 years old. He and Brenda are over in the Philippines, and they're taking homeless kids off the streets of Manila, and they're putting them into an orphanage that they've just built. Hallelujah. To raise these young kids up to love the same God that you love and serve. Praise God. Only God could do that. Hallelujah. I'll just tell you this one more thing. Is that all right? When they're going back to Maui for those 2 weeks before they went to Bethesda, they're walking in the Portland International Airport. They've got this death on them that's just been put on them. And there's a grand piano sitting in the atrium. You know, the concourse is going A, B, C, D, all that. And here's the grand piano sitting in the atrium. It's like nobody noticed it. It was like there's a man playing there, and it was like nobody saw him. But Jeff and Brenda saw him. And they come up to him. Hi, honey, how are you? You're so cute. They come up to that grand piano. is that man playing what we think he's playing in this Portland airport? They come up there and they lean over the piano. Because right there in that secular Portland airport, that piano player was playing this song. When peace like a river attended my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Help me now. It is well. Oh yes, with my soul. Oh, it is well. It is well with my soul. Somebody ought to shout if you believe it. Come on, shout with the voice of triumph. It's well. It's well with my soul. Well, thank you for listening to this old preacher. I just came this morning because I wanted to brag on Jesus a little bit. Tell you how good he's been to me. To my wife all through the years. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. So awesome. Now here we are, and I believe the Lord is getting ready to perform some miracles here this morning. Anybody want a miracle? I don't know, man. If you really want a miracle, hallelujah. You know, that blind man, son of David, cried out, Jesus! Oh, son of David! Is there anybody here that wants it that bad? Hallelujah. Anybody here that believes it that much? Jesus! Come on now. Come on now. You really want it? Am I saying Jesus? Jesus! Jesus, thou son of David! Hallelujah. You already know there ain't no healing in this preacher. Hallelujah, but I think we know how to touch God. Hallelujah, I think I know the times and the seasons. I think I know what I feel. Hallelujah, and I feel it here today. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I can't pump it out like I used to pump it out. But I'm here to tell you I'm full of zeal. Hallelujah. I'm full of thankfulness to God that he has brought us to this moment. Hallelujah. If you need a special miracle from the Lord, just take a few steps forward. Take a few steps forward. That's just those that really need a miracle. Hallelujah. You see, when you take a few steps forward, that means, hallelujah, that's just a step of faith. That just means you're stepping into your miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, it's a step of faith. Hallelujah, you say, I've been prayed for many times. Well, that's good, because it's all building up to the biggie. You think my God didn't hear before? Hallelujah, he in his wisdom has brought us to the zenith. He's brought us to the kingdom now. For such a time as this, he's brought us to this moment. Praise God. Now raise your right hand to the Lord. Hallelujah. Raise your right hand to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to say something here. Hallelujah. And when I do, I want you to, I believe you're going to feel something touch you. And it's going to go all through your body. It's going to surge like you're going to feel warmth. You're going to feel the hot Holy Spirit, healing virtue of God flow through your body. Hallelujah. Are you ready for it now? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I'm standing upon the authority of your word. I'm standing upon the authority of your word. It's not my word, it's your word. So I'm standing upon the authority of the word of God. And through the power that there is in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, at that name, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed. Now go ahead and praise him. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and glorify his name, because he's already done what he said he would do. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and shout with the voice of triumph. He's done it. He's done it. He's done it. Oh, Rabakataya Labandana Bahashaya. Come on, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him for the victory. Praise him for your healing. Praise him for your deliverance. Go ahead and thank him like he's already done it. Go ahead and thank him like he's already done it. Come on, thank him like he's already done it. He's already done what he said he would do. He's already done what he said he would do. Nobody like this Jesus. How Rabakataya Labandaria Labahasa. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. All right. We're going to do one more thing in the house. We're going to do one more thing in the house. God's doing it. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. God's pouring it out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, yes. He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to bring two. Hallelujah. I know God's still moving, but he's not done yet. Brother and Sister Pound, Pastor, can you come with Sister? Pastor will sit here. Sister Pound will sit here. I just want to, before I leave, I want to minister. I really believe the Lord wants us to do this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. I'd like all the men that are in the church, I want you all to come and gather on this side of Pastor Pound and around. I want all the women to come around on this side. Just get as close as you can. All right. Hallelujah. Let's everybody in the house come together. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord's doing great things. You know, here's what I'd like you to do. I know y'all can't lay hands on them, but just those of you that are there, just kind of touch Pastor. Those of you that are the men and the ladies, you touch the ladies. And Sister Pound and Brother Pound, they're joined together there. So here we are. We're forming an unbroken chain. Isn't this awesome? We've got an unbroken chain. Everybody is just, we're together as one. We're one body. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pray for this elder, this pastor. I'm going to pray for his wife. We're going to pray that God would touch them in every which way. Hallelujah. They are people of God. They're the leaders of this church. Hallelujah. God's hand is mightily upon them. It's the enemy's business to try to bring some things that would distract. He likes to try to slow down stuff, but he's the guy, like I said, he's always a liar. But I believe something is happening here today, and I believe it's going to come to Pastor and his wife. I believe it's going to touch Pastor. He just went through a heart situation recently, and he's just recovering from that. So we're going to pray that the Lord would make sure that all the blood vessels are flowing properly, and that the Lord would give him renewed strength and renewed vigor, renewed stamina for what's coming. Because I felt when I walked into this church, this is not the end. This is the beginning of something incredible. Hallelujah. The foundation has been laid. Now there's something ready to happen. Hallelujah. The walls are going up. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is here. And then we're going to pray for Sister Pound. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for her. Hallelujah. Every which way. And then we're going to pray for healing. Praise God. I know we've been praying for healing. But hallelujah, it's building up. It's building up to a great miracle. I believe it. How many of you believe it? So now that we're all standing here together, hallelujah. Brother Brian, come up here behind me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise God. Isn't God good? Praise God. Brother Brian, come right in here ahead of me. Amen. Get down here by your dad and mom. Praise God. That's all right. Okay. Now here, we're all joined together as one, all right? Hallelujah. Let's everybody begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Leading up to our pastor and his wife. We're going to pray for them like we've never prayed. Lord Jesus, in thy name, may new strength and new unction come into them, oh God. Give them even renewed revelations, oh God. In the name of Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name that you touch them with a mighty touch. Touch Brother Pound, oh God, as your mighty angel of this church. Hallelujah. Continue to give him revelations, oh God, as he leads this mighty flock into greater, greener pastures. Power of the Holy Ghost, oh God. I pray for Sister Pound. Lord, I pray for her healing. I pray for that delivering power, oh God. I pray for signs and wonders this moment. Go ahead and praise him like you believe it. Oh, Rabakataya Labandaya Labahushaya. In the name of Jesus Christ, the power and the glory of a holy God be upon my friend. Yalabakandiya Lamandara Bahashakariya Bahasia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. How Rabakataya Labahasaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There it is, my friends. There it is. Power of a holy God upon us. Jesus' name. You know what, folks? There's something happens. There's something happens when we shout as a united voice. Hallelujah. You know, there's something that happens when we shout. It's kind of like the victory has already happened, and now we're kind of bragging about it. Not bragging in ourselves, but bragging on Jesus that he's already done. So, you know what? I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I want everybody in this building to shout as loud as you can shout. And when you shout, you're going to visualize the walls coming down. Hallelujah. Your children are coming home. Your family's going to be saved. Hallelujah. You're not going to leave a hoof behind. Hallelujah. My God's with you, his families. Hallelujah. There's going to be a revival of backsliders coming into this church. There's going to be a revival of a whole lot of other kind of people coming into this church. It's going to happen, and it is happening. But when I count to three, why don't you just shout? Hallelujah. Shout as a victorious shout to God. Let them hear it in downtown Beaumont. Let them hear it in the gates of hell. Hallelujah. I'm going to count to three now. One, two, three. Shout! Shout, 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 shout. Shout with the voice of triumph. Shout with the voice of praise. Shout! 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 Yalla banda yalla ba. Shout, 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 shout. Shout, 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 shout. Shout, shout, shout. Yalla banda yalla ba. Oh yes, we've shouted hallelujah with a voice of triumph. Now men, turn around and pray for somebody. Women, turn around and pray for somebody that you may be healed in Jesus' name. Pray for one another right now. Pray. Pray like you know how to pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead. My son's coming home. My daughter's coming home. Ha ha, devil. You take your clutches off of our kids. They're coming home in Jesus' name.
I believe with all of my heart that today was ordained by God. It was in the purpose and the plan of God to bring Brother and Sister Mallory here to be with us. For 15 years I've prayed about a marriage retreat and never got any word from the Lord. But this year, the Lord said, Gordon Mallory. And we made contact and was able to bring him, and today was so ordained of the Lord. I believe before some of you get home, you're going to realize God healed you. God touched you. As the week goes along, it's like, oh, wow, something's different here. It's that God's hand worked in this. Before the week's over, you're going to realize God answered something here today. I'm so thankful. Thank you, Brother and Sister Mallory, for being with us. Thank you for being with us. I want Brother and Sister Mallory to come back. Anybody? They're just 6 or 7 hours down the road. In fact, after we eat, they're going home, and 6 or 7 hour drive. And I know he's tired, they're tired. Could you just stretch your hands this way and pray strength into them and covering and protection over them? Father, in the name of Jesus, we loose and release strength now into Brother and Sister Mallory. I loose strength into Brother Mallory. Strength, Father. Strength to drive. Strength. Father, I loose and release it into his physical body, a mental awareness, alertness, Father, in his spirit, in his body. Father, I command angels to go with them, to cover them, protect them. Father, keep them all the way home. I command angels go before them, prepare the way of the Lord before them. Every obstacle, every hindrance, every traffic jam, everything, just open up the way for them to get home safe and sound. Father, without any kind of incident, without any kind of traffic stoppage, in the name of Jesus, go before them. Go before them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.